Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Stoppage time. The visitors never say die attitude was rewarded as Danny Schofield scored Millwall's dramatic equaliser.
Ball across the net. It's in off Christian Daly. Yes! Steve Morrison makes it 4 for Millwall.
And they look at this disconsolate one shot, that's on it.
Seconds of stoppage time, George Takinian was put clear on goal. He lost his footing as he rounded David Ford. The chance was gone, so this one finished 0-0. Alou Diarra's stunning flick put the visitors ahead and dreaming of a first win over Millwall since 1996. My guy Guy's drilled finish drew the home side level and Millwall would win the game with 3 minutes to go. Jos Højbjerg grabbed a dramatic late goal for the home side as the Addicts' winless run against the Lions continued.
On your Dima, Morrison, it's 3-1. Too easy for Millwall.
And run into the arms of Jordan Archer. And he's dropped it, the ball lifted into the ball! Oh, the linesman's flagged, what for?
On earth is he flagged for?
23 years of hurt, 23 years of late equalisers, abject displays, refereeing foul-ups, and ultimately, no wins against Millwall. Will that finally end this weekend? Let's hope so. Welcome to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview. My name is Louis Mendes. Joining me in the studio here at the Valley as we get ready to look ahead to Saturday's South East London derby with Millwall at the Den. On my right-hand side is Mr. Tom Willing. How are you doing, Tom?
All right, thank you.
Yeah, you're looking well. You're up for it?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, that was my scariest voice.
Yeah.
Good, wasn't it?
Yeah, red hot derby atmosphere that is actually real this time.
Yeah.
There's no Gillingham, is it?
Yeah. No Kent red hot derby, yeah. But Bermondsey red hot derby.
Yeah. And also here, a man no stranger to the Den, of course, is Mr. Nathan Muller. How you doing, Nath?
Not bad, mate. Got a flat cap ready.
Yeah.
Ready to turn my phone off just in case the old man tries ringing me.
You're going to have some stern words with your old man.
I won't talk to him now.
No.
Not till, well, I'll probably ring him tomorrow and then I probably won't talk to him until either Monday if we lose or draw. If we win, I'll probably try and ring him after the game.
Yeah, 5 minutes past five. Right, Dad, what are you off to?
And he'll probably like, yeah, come here and I'll smash your face in probably.
Yeah. Well, let's hope no one's face gets smashed in, but we do win on tonight's show. So we will be looking ahead to that game. We're going to hear from the man, Lee Bowyer, the man who we hope can finally mastermind our first win at the Den for 24 years, because it's 95 we last won there. 96 was when we last won here, and he scored, Lee Bowyer. We're going to hear from him shortly. He's going to tell us what the game means to him and also what the squad's going to look like. We're also going to hear from a Millwall expert, a man who knows Millwall inside out, Richard Corley from the South London Press. He's going to tell us what we can expect from Gary Rowett's side. And then towards the end of the show as well, we're going to hear from Craig Pepiat as well, who's got together with some Millwall fans, doing something really worthwhile ahead of the game on Saturday. They're together for 10 March. I'm going to let Craig explain explain a little bit more about that later on in the show. If you want to have your say, let us know how you're feeling ahead of the trip to the new den. Email us studio at charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live, or you can head over to the Charlton Live forum, give the team your good luck messages, which we will deliver to them via the medium of the podcast. Let's hope they listen. They probably don't, though, so just say how you're feeling ahead of the game, and we'll read them out on tonight's show as we get ready to make that trip to the den. One of the most eagerly awaited games of the season, always in the build-up, one of the most quickly forgotten games normally afterwards, but you know, hopefully this year will be different. Let's hear from Lee Bowyer first of all. I think the Addicts boss had his press day today. He was asked what this game means to himself and his squad.
Everything. I think that winning is important, but these types of games, the local derbies, are a big part why you play, because the atmosphere and the occasion. And since I've taken over since I've been in charge, these big games we've always stood up and matched our opposition. So I think it's a good time for this game to come around for us.
What's the most ferocious derby you've ever been involved in?
Oh, wow. played in Lut Leeds, Man U, that was a big one. West Ham Spurs. Charlton Millwall. So I've obviously played in this, I know what it's like. So yeah, they're probably the Birmingham Villa. That was a big one as well. So yeah, played in a few.
And lived to tell the story.
I'm still here. So yeah, but obviously the most important thing is the 3 points. We want to give our fans a good journey home and to have them bragging rights, like we said, that they've been great for us. Travelling up and down the country. So hopefully tomorrow, Saturday, we can repay them for all their efforts.
It's going to be a full house at the new den, so the atmosphere is going to be intimidating. Will it be a case of which team holds their nerve?
No. I think the first goal is going to be massive. Yeah, it's going to be intimidating, but like I've said, you can turn that into a positive, the atmosphere. So even though we're playing away like we did last season at Portsmouth, it was quite intimidating there. You know, the atmosphere that the Portsmouth fans make was good. So we know that our fans are going to be singing, and Millwall are going to be doing probably a bit more than singing, knowing the Millwall fans. So, but if we can take control of the ball and look a threat, then if we take the lead, then things can easily turn. I know that from playing, you know.
Sorry to mention this, but the last time Charlton beat Millwall was in 1995, so it's about time you set the record straight.
96, I think it was. And I think I scored. So that was the last time, so maybe I'm a good omen for that, because we played them twice that season and beat them twice. So yeah, hopefully I'm that good omen, and I've been away from the club since. And now I'm back, hopefully, that we can get the same result again.
So there we go. I think it says it all about how long it has been since we actually beat Millwall. The current manager of Charlton is the man who opened the scoring the day we last beat them, Lee Bowyer. I think it was Carl Leburn in 1996, back at the Valley. South London derby, Tom. You get to this stage of the season where we've had a decent start and, you know, we're looking at this record we've got against them. I mean, this could be our best chance of getting a win at the Den in a long, long time.
Yeah.
If that's one way of putting it, isn't it? Jinxing it.
It is. There's been plenty of Millwall games in the last few years that I have thought were going to be our time, and none of them have been. but we've started the season very well. The problem is that none of that really matters when it comes to this game. Form seems to go out the window. But yeah, if you were just looking at the two sides, if it wasn't Millwall we were playing, if it was another team in exactly the same position with exactly the same record as them, I think you'd back us as favourites. But this game's a little bit different. Everyone knows it. I think everyone can feel it. So yeah, as always, it's a tough one to call. But on paper, it's certainly our best chance we've had for a while. Unfortunately, that's not where the game's played. So yeah, just today and thinking about coming in for the show, I've just started to get a little bit nervous now, thinking about the game.
Well, I saw you on Twitter earlier, said you were buzzing. So, I mean, are you feeling it?
Cause excited,
I'm getting that pre-match excitement now, actually thinking this is a big game for us and these are the sort of games that you're coming down here for.
Yeah. And it's that anticipation more than perhaps just pure nerves, like a big game like the playoff semi-finals were or Wembley. You know, it's not just a Sunday morning against Preston when you wake up and you're confused that it's Sunday, not Saturday. This matters a little bit more than your average game. Exactly.
I'm joking.
Yeah. So, obviously, buzzing for it, but yeah, it's huge, isn't it? That's the thing. Yeah.
I was going to say, Nath, how are you feeling? Because obviously for you, it's a personal family tie as well. I mean, these are the games that you come down to football for. Your massive local derbies, you try and get one over on a team we had beat for so long. But even if we had, you know, every time you go up against Millwall Palace, you want to go and get something out of it.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I hate Palace more than I hate Millwall. But that's because I get on my dad a little bit. But obviously.
See, I hate your dad, so I don't care.
But that's what I mean. I mean, when we play him, you know, I want to beat him 5-0 as much as anyone. And but it's gonna be a challenge because it always is. But I think when we had Bobby P in charge, we had that start in the Championship. He started quite well. Even if we played Millwall then, I wouldn't have been too confident. Whereas this time around, I just think the togetherness we've got in a squad. And see how hard they work, even when we don't play well. You know, Sunday against Preston, we didn't play well, but you could still see we were putting 110% in. And I think that's the first thing you've got to do in derby games is forget, like Tom said, forget form, forget all the neat tricks and flicks. Away at Millwall, you've got to compete. You win your individual battles, and then on paper, I know it's not one on paper, but on paper we're a better footballing side. So hopefully it pans out like that.
I mean, we're looking at a squad now that's got the sort of players, Tom, that will battle for the shirt. I mean, when I was making that montage we heard at the start and I was going through the highlights, seeing performances that had Andrew Cross in the middle of the park and some of the players leading out, George Chukwudiang rounding the keeper and tripping up. I mean, we've put out some weak teams. I love Churchinho, but I watched that a game we lost 1-0 at home against Millwall and he had a shot near the end that I could have hit harder. I mean, he set him up, Marvin Sordell. I mean, the quality of players that we've gone into some of these games before and the fight they've had in them, it's a different story. I mean, for sure. I mean, even in some of those games, we have had Jacko and Solly at the same time, but they haven't been enough. This year, from 1 to 11, I feel like we've got a team that's going to go there and battle.
Crofty had more fight wrapping Christmas presents, didn't he?
Imagine a midfield of Crofts and Ulverstad.
Hello. I think not only have we've got players that can fight, but also we've got players that have got that little bit of quality in the side. Now, I know Johnny Williams obviously isn't going to be there, but Osthuma, Lecco on his day, you know, you've got players in that side that could turn up Gallagher, who could do something a little bit special. And we've got players like Lockyer and Pierce, who are hard to break down, hard to get through. You've got Prattley in there, you've got Cullen. So I think we've got a really nice mix, and that's why we've started the season well. I think the thing we've got to be wary of is, yes, we're the better side on paper, as both Nathan and I both said, but one, the game's not played on paper, and two, Millwall are a side like Preston and like the teams that tend to sit back and are physical and not the most attractive side to play against. They're the sides that we struggle against. So that's where it's going to be difficult. If there were some free-flowing side, I'd have a lot more confidence, but it's going to be a tough game, not only because it's a local derby, but just because of the nature of the way that Millwall play. We've struggled against that. Obviously struggled against it at the weekend as well, although arguably, like Boya said after the game, we had a couple of chances. So I think he mentioned in the press today, and I don't know if it was in that clip just then, but he said the first goal is going to be absolutely massive, and I completely agree. And then it's about can we first of all get that first goal, and then can we start to impose our game on them and make them try and come out a little bit.
Obviously, a big part of the South East London derby is going to be the atmosphere. We're going mob-handed down to the Den, as we always do, but you know, our away support over the last 18 months or so, pretty much since Bo's come in, has been amazing. So I mean, that's going to be a big part of the day for everyone as well. I'm sure it's going to be a fun day, certainly in the build-up to it. But inside the ground, you know, those fans are going to make themselves heard.
Yeah, I think
and just
will.
In the background, it's just going to be people going, "Murr." So, I mean, it's not much competition there, really, is it?
No, I mean, everyone's going to enjoy themselves. I think both fans, I mean, they're going to be up for it as well. They've sold out, which is surprising, but considering we're irrelevant. But, yeah, no, it's going to be a good day. I'm not really looking forward to the after the game where you get locked in, I get abused by an eight-year-old calling me nasty words, but... yeah, it's going to be a great game.
That
it always is.
It,
it probably will be. But
you've been busy. Yeah.
But no, like, I remember the last. I can't. It was the last time. It was the last time we played when Souls got sent off. And
no,
Diarra
two times ago. Last time was before Christmas, when we lost 3-1.
Is that when Nicky Ojose got two or something?
Nicky Ojose got one, didn't he?
Oh, one. And who scored the other one? We lost 4-2 or 4-1?
No, we lost 3-1.
Oh, well, I don't know what I'm thinking of then.
Scoring twice at the dinner, you crazy?
Wait till Saturday. But yeah, no, it's going to be a good game. Everyone will be up for it. Everyone will be all lagered up, probably. But yeah, hopefully we get behind the boys. We get an early goal, like Tom said. Come back 5-0. Every day, just go and have a beer.
I mean, it goes without saying that our record against Millwall is atrocious. I mean, obviously, 24 years, sounds like a lot. We've only played each other 10 times in that amount of time, which is still quite a lot to not
How
win
old
a game.
Are you, Tom?
29.
Yeah.
So you may say, all right,
we're going back 10 games without winning, but then we won the double that season. But before that, you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 or 8 games before that we hadn't won. I worked it out yesterday. Out of the last 33 times we've played them, we've won 4.
Decent.
out of our entire history against them, we've won 12. They've won 35. It's the most one-sided derby in history. And considering, like, historically, we're a bigger club than them. I mean, we've played top-flight football more recently than them. We've won the FA Cup, which they haven't done. We're a bigger club than Millwall. Why can we not beat them? Why is our record against Millwall so atrocious?
That's it.
If I knew that, I'd be standing in that dugout on Saturday.
I think in recent years, I mean, you look at, like I said earlier, you look at some of the teams that we put out. Crofty for one. But, you know, even when we had that team, we were playing well. We didn't really have enough, I think, fight for that. I mean, I don't know how many of those games we'd have played and we had the likes of Dan Seaborn and Gary Borrowdale playing and all that sort of thing. It's a different kettle of fish. And this team, like last season alone, they're just different gravy. And I think, I'm not saying we're going to smash both time, but I think the desire and the enthusiasm could be so much more.
I mean,
different.
If you look at the last, I think the last, so last time we played them here, so obviously we should have won that game. Bauer had a perfectly good goal ruled out for, you know, a refereeing mistake, as we heard in the montage at the start. But it summed up perfectly for me right at the very end when Morrison and Tuxera had been having a battle all game and Morrison had already got Tuxera booked. And then full time, Morrison's wound up Tuxera. He's picked up the ball, thrown it at him, got sent off. And Morrison's done his job there. Morrison's wound up a centre-half. He's come and embarrassed one of our players. And we've seen a player who's been easily too wound up. Now, this isn't the sort of game you can get wound up by. And this isn't the sort of club you can allow to walk over you. And that's what we've seen from teams before. And that's what we can't have on Saturday.
I was about to say that I think the majority of it, and now I've had a couple of minutes to think about it, the reason our record is so bad, a lot of it is psychological, because the longer that record goes on, the harder it becomes. Even today, Bowyer said he's named his team on a Thursday as opposed to his usual Saturday. Well, why? Why are we doing things differently just because it's Millwall? There's obviously build-up. The club often put out videos. There's extra articles about it. It gets written about more than your average game. And you think about the Doncaster second leg semi-final, not a derby, obviously, but another big game. That was probably our worst performance down here all season. And okay, we got through it in the penalties, but in the game, we were very lucky to come out of that and get away with it. So there is an element of psychology about it. And like you say, their players seem to get that right. They know how to get inside our players' heads, whoever it is. Look at Solly getting sent off at the Den.
Well, fair,
reliable.
That was not his face, to be fair.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But these things just seem to happen to us in this game. We were up 4-2 here when we drew 4-all in the end. It's just...
These things just seem to happen in this game.
That, I mean, that even that 4-4 game, we went 2-0 down, got back to 2-2, and they were down to 10 men, and we went 3-2 ahead, then they equalised, then we scored with 5 minutes left, and then they still it's incredible.
There's just something there.
That's
something
amazing. There. That's the first time I ever saw us play Millwall, and that's the closest we came to winning when we drew 4-4. Wheeler tweets, in all the teams we've had in the past have had a soft touch. We have players who are going to put it about. Prattley, Pearce, Cullen, Gallagher, Solly, Lockyer. We've always rolled over against Millwall, but I don't see that happening this time around. What do you think the significance of Lee Bowyer being manager as opposed to some of the jokers we've had in the past?
I hope you're excluding Carol Fry from that joker bracket.
Well, Carol was never unleashed on Millwall, as far as I know. So
he was never a manager, was he, technically?
Yeah, we never got to find out what would have happened.
He was an estate agent, isn't he?
Chef.
I think with Bowes knows the club. I mean, Jacko would be on them as well. Marshy would be in it. And everyone's played in them. Jacko's played in it. Marshy's played in sort of Birmingham derbies. Bowes played in what?
He played Millwall.
You know, Newcastle, everything. Every derby you can think of. So he would have instilled it. I agree with Tom. It's a bit strange just doing it on a Thursday, naming a squad. But then you can also think maybe the players do need to get ready. But then surely they should already be up for it anyway. But
well, it's about a psychological thing, wasn't it? He needs the players. I mean, so it's all right. Let's talk about it. Tom has mentioned he's given the players. So normally I assume they'd find out, what, Saturday morning?
Yeah, at least Friday evening.
Friday evening. So they turn up thinking, am I going to play him or not? Do I need to be ready? But, I mean, you turn up on Saturday, you've known for 2 days. It's either 2 days pumping yourself up ready for it, or it's 2 days it's stewing at the back of your mind that some toothless gurner might call you a nasty name from the stands.
I don't even think it's necessarily the negative side of it. It's just different to the normal. Like, I've played in big sporting games, not football, but big tennis matches where you know it's coming up, and then you start to treat it differently and you start to think about it and you just overthink it. Even if you know you're better than the opposition, you just overthink it. And so these are professional sportsmen, obviously, and their mentality is far stronger than that of me at the level I played at sport. But
Great Britain, number six.
It's Greg Rosetsky.
Not quite that good, but the point is that they're going to think about it differently. And if you know you're in the team now, the point is you're now at home thinking about it. Whereas on a normal week, you just wouldn't be. You might be thinking about, will I be in the team, will I not?
Probably watching EastEnders or listening to Charlton Live.
It's no different to just a normal week. And I'm a bit confused as to why we've done anything differently. Because for me, that's just another thing that's psychologically different to any normal game.
I guess we know that Bayer's worked under all these high-quality managers, and as he said, in derby games. So maybe that's something that a manager he's worked under did differently one game, and he thought it helped.
Or he's only got 13 fit players.
Yeah.
So you're like, I ain't going to start.
Johnny, you're not playing.
And probably
Nabby, Lyle, you're not playing.
It's like, well, we know what the team is anyway, Gaffer, so you might as well just tell us.
Yeah, but, well, that segues on nicely then. Shall we find out what the team update is? Lee Bayer, of course, was asked, during press day today, are there any players that the Addicts boss can expect back? Can we expect a whole host of bodies coming back into the squad?
Not really. Adam Matthews has joined in training this week. Apart from that, that's it. Chatsunike is struggling. He obviously played 23s the other day, trying to build his fitness up and get his minutes up. And he had to come off at half time. He was a little bit stiff, so just evaluating him, but it's not looking good. So, it looks like we might have lost one, gained one. So it's basically the same.
Much the same as Preston.
Yeah. So, there's obviously, after this game, we've got an international break, and then we've got a couple of weeks to try and get some people back. And I'm expecting a good couple to be coming back after the next break. So that's things that it's not important at the moment. The most important thing is the preparation for the game on the weekend, and we have to be right, and we have to compete, because it's going to be a physical game. It's going to be competitive. Two teams that want to win desperately for their fans. So we have to do that. Once we do that, then we have to do what we're good at and move the ball well, and then if we do that, then I think we've got a good chance of winning.
Lee, thank you very much.
And it's just a follow up for the injury for obviously everyone's talking about Lyle Taylor. You said he's not available for the weekend. Is there a part of you thinking with the international coming up, maybe just put his name on the bench just as that could don't know what it does for the morale and the team to see his name then.
It can't come on.
So he's definitely will do it.
100%, yeah. 100%. If he could come on, trust me, if we could have put him on a bench and maybe put him on for 10 minutes, then I would. But he's not fit. So just had an injection, another injection the other day. So now it's just a case of letting that settle down and then just slowly building him up over the next couple of weeks. So I'm speaking to the physio there, Ali, Cardiff. We'll be looking for him to be training with us on the week, building up to the Cardiff game. So that's the next target. But the target was Preston, and that didn't happen. So we've just got to be careful. Like this, it's one of them where if you try and rush him back too soon, then he could break down and be out for another 6 weeks. We don't want that to happen. So we have to look at the bigger picture. It's a long way to go.
Yeah, Lee Bay, you're really going in deep on that Lyle Taylor's not playing mind games, isn't he? Yeah, so not much change. So Adam Matthews coming back. Chuck Tanike, by the sounds of it, out, which is disappointing because he actually scored against Millwall on Monday for the 23s, but he went off at half-time, I think it was, or early in the second half, when he was expected to play a bit longer. So no real change in our availability, except we're one striker short. Or even further short, so not ideal. Maybe we should try and get to the bottom of this Lyle Taylor thing. It does sound like he's not playing.
Sounds like it, but it sounded like it before. So,
but I mean, he's really going in on that he's not playing.
I've seen it in a lot of places today. I know Rich did a separate interview with him and said the same as well. I don't want to make myself look stupid, do I? That's the thing. But I don't think he's going to play.
Nah. It was a shame because, I mean, if we're talking about characters and, you know, wind-up merchants, I mean, he would have been the absolute perfect man to take the field at the Den, because he could have thrived in that atmosphere.
He could have.
He would have loved it. He would have.
Or it could have been all about him.
Yeah, but I don't care. As long as he scored, I don't care.
Yeah, but Naby, you know, put him up there. to be fair, I mean, I think everyone would love Lyle to play. And it's obviously a club that he knows fondly.
Oh, yeah, he played there, of course, didn't he?
He obviously was there briefly when he was younger. He's got a lot of friends who are Millwall fans, I imagine. it's a shame. But listen, McCauley's been on fire recent weeks. You know, Lecco can come back into the fold. So it might be all right. I think we'll be all right. I mean, and you know, last chance salute, get big Naby up there.
I mean, looking at the team, so he's here, so Matthew's a possibility at right back instead of Solly, or I mean Deji could come in there as well. You're looking at that lineup that played against Preston. I'm not sure where he, unless he chooses to change the formation. So do we go for two up top at Millwall? And in that case, I mean, it would have to be Lecco, but then there's no one really on the bench then in that situation, unless we bring in young Josh Davison, because it doesn't sound like Hemed's going to be about. Doesn't sound like Anike's going to be about.
Ernest's a floater, honestly. I'd give Ernest a floater.
Yeah?
But start him as a floater, honestly.
Yeah, I'm a big, big physical Millwall side.
I know, but I think, you know,
he'll draw fouls.
I mean, we've got a small team anyway. I don't think Erhan's going to. I just think, on Sunday, we lacked that connecting from Macca. We're so isolated. I just think we need that connectivity. And Gallagher's a great player, don't get me wrong, but he's not one to be that. He's that box-to-box. He's not those.
So
those,
what are you talking about? Aaron coming in to play along, like, or just behind Bond as part
of
the two?
I'll just let him do as a float at number 10. Just let him go do what he wants. Get in no pocket. Like in Forest game, let him do what he wants.
But are we playing two up top then? Because,
yeah,
I mean,
Aaron would be one of the two. Yeah, but
all right. Because one of the other main questions for me, because we're talking about players, you know, going into that cauldron of noise that is Millwall. It's a bit of a low drone of them just doing that repetitive noise, but it's still a big atmosphere. And we're talking about players who perhaps struggle in a big pressure games, and maybe one that's already been mentioned who struggled in the playoffs having had a really good season, which is Naby Sarr. I mean, am I mugging myself off here? Am I saying that, you know, am I doing him a discredit? Because I thought he tended to do quite well this season. He had a difficult first 45 against Preston and got hooked though. So are you willing to put him into that cauldron?
I wouldn't be, no. I don't think it's a discredit to him either. I think if he was honest with himself, those big games, I think he has struggled. I'd still like to see a back three, and it's something we tried, I think, earlier this season and put Prattley in the back three with Lockyer and Pearce. So maybe that, and then maybe Otsuma would be one of a three-man midfield, and then you get Lecco and Bon up front, but it's quite attacking if you do that.
Then you've got nothing on the bench other than Josh Davison.
But you know, if you're 2-3 nil up by 60 minutes, it doesn't matter, does it? So it's a bit of a risk, but...
Guarantee if we're 3-0 up by 60 minutes, that's not safe. Give me 89 True, yeah. minutes and I'll think about it.
7-0 up, maybe.
Even on Tuesday, the 23s were 2-0 up, 7 minutes left.
Threw that away, didn't they? But yeah, no, I think Naby would admit it himself, and I just don't think this is the sort of game for him. I think Lockyer and Pearce are tailor-made for a game like this. Pearce, obviously, we saw how disappointed he was post-match on Sunday with himself and the mistake he's made, so he's going to want to put that right. Lockyer is going to love a game like this. I know there's been a piece done on the website about him today. And for me, yeah, Pratley has to start whatever. It's just whether he starts at the base of midfield or whether he drops back into a three-man back five.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, I agree with Tom. I think it'll be. I don't know if Bradshaw's fit. I don't know if Richard, because I think they'll play Bradshaw, and I think it'll be good. If Naby, I wouldn't start Naby, but if once they bring Matt Smith on, that's when I'll bring Naby on. Right, so right, here's one for you. Average aerial duels won in a game. Lockie and Pearce, how many do you reckon average?
What? Percentage?
Just, yeah, no, just number of aerial duels won in a game. No. 4. All right, Matt Smith, how much? Even though he's on a bench.
About 12.
9.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, like, you look at that, that's when I'd bring Naby on. When they bring him on, you're going, big Nabs, swallow him up.
All right, so they're sending a lot of long balls up to this Smith character. Well, yeah, the former QPR striker.
Yeah, that's the one. They're losing, because it wouldn't surprise me if they'll play Bradshaw with Thompson in behind, Jed Wallace on the right. And Jed Wallace is their main outlet.
Yeah, well, Jed Wallace is a good side. Player, yeah. And obviously, one that Pearce, you know, as well from their time at Pompey together. So that'd be interesting to see. If they get involved in a battle of sorts. Well, I think we'll have a quick break. When we come back, we'll hear from Richard Corley, who will tell us what we can expect from Gary Wowett's side on Saturday.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Cullen trying to take his man on. Chip ball back across. Bowers there. Pierce is there. Bowers with a header. And it's done.
Yes! Oh, it's in!
Oh, he's got it! Oh, Patrick Barr! You absolute German beauty! Woo! Dreamland! Charlton have scored! With seconds remaining!
We've done it, Tom!
Get in! Come on! What a time to be a hero!
Here at Wembley!
Oh, my word! Oh, my word!
Charlton Live.
So welcome back, it's Charlton Live. This is the big match preview, looking ahead to the South East London derby with Mill at the Den on Saturday against Gary Rowett's team. Not Wowett. I got too excited. Gary Rowett, former Charlton player, of course. Bit of a legend in his day, was he? He played about 4 times.
It was good.
We never really saw the best of him because of his injury problems.
It was bad knee, wasn't it? But I remember, I don't know. Was it the same time George Costa was here? Or just after?
Slightly after, I think.
Yeah, because I remember he used to play, and he played right back a couple of times, but he was a good centre half, though. I used to like him.
Yeah.
It was a shame, really. He was a good player.
Yeah, he had knee injuries, and I think we saw him about 12 times over the course of 2 seasons, which was a real shame. Right, Richard Corley we got a tweet in from Adele. It says, I feel Nathan's pain. Both my dad and his brother support Millwall. Been giving it large since we were promoted, saying thanks for the 6 points this season. Please let this be our time. Yeah, I've got my uncle's family all support Millwall. It's relentless, isn't it? Like, I know, you'll see where we live, you're always going to know loads of Millwall supporters. And to be going this long without beating them is just absolutely crazy. But hopefully Saturday will be the time. Now, obviously, we always look ahead to the game with a journalist from the opposition. We're in a lucky position that we know one quite well. Richard Corley is, of course, a Mill expert, a veteran reporter on the South London scene as well. I spoke to Rich earlier on to find out how he rates the start to the season that Mill have had.
I think it's been a difficult start. I don't think you can say it hasn't been. Obviously, a bit of a weird situation, really, because they picked up a very good result against Preston on the opening day. And I think there was a feeling that maybe the summer rebuild had really managed to kind of have an effect after a fairly sort of struggling end to last season. But the results didn't hugely turn around, and that's obviously led to a pretty big change with Neil Harris going. So I think you've got to look at it, and I think Millwall this season again probably would just want to have a, I think a good season for Millwall is probably not getting dragged into things like they were last season. So far, the results I think have been a mixed bag. Performances perhaps have been a bit of a mixed bag as well. But the one thing I would say is that when they play at home, you know, their home form has been so poor. You know, to winning promotion, but also obviously staying in the Championship or the first season up doing well in the Championship. So Millwall have again normally a, you know, a bit of a handful, and I'd expect it to be the same obviously at the weekend with it being a derby. I mean, they're not going to want to lose the game, particularly when it's like a local rival. So I think that'll be a factor as well going into it.
What is it that makes Millwall so strong at home? What sort of style do they play that I'm picturing quite a robust defensive unit that will try and score from set pieces, that sort of side, perhaps the type of Millwall side we've been used to over the years.
Yeah, I think certainly under Neil Harris, you know, the team were very direct. They were strong from set pieces, scored a lot of set piece goals. I don't think we've really yet fully seen what Gary Rowett's going to do. I think he will play. I don't think there was ever going to be a reinvention of what they did. I think it was probably with Gary Rowett's appointment, they were looking to maybe refine a few bits. I mean, Rowett's talked about the fact that he wants to change things a bit away from home. I think they might, formation-wise, might mix it up a little bit more drastically moving forward because they're away form and they haven't won away since March. So I think at home, they'll probably still be fairly similar, you know, good intensity. When they're good, this is, you know, good intensity, getting the ball forward quickly, running the channels, and also obviously that threat from set pieces, which they've got decent height in the side, running right through it. So I think obviously with Charlton not having the biggest of defences, that would probably be an area I'd imagine they think they might be able to get some joy at the weekend. But I mean, over the years, watching them, that's where they've been strong. You know, I think the first season they come up and they finished eighth in the Championship, sort of similar to Charlton, came up and had a good start. Well, actually, they didn't have a good start. They were very strong in the second half of the season. But I think that season their pressing game was very, very good. I don't think it's quite been the same ever since George Savile was sold to Middlesbrough for, you know, a club record fee. Over £6 million. I think since then they haven't pressed with quite the same intensity, which perhaps has been a problem for them. But a lot of clubs know what they're going to get. I mean, I've seen so many games, quite a few last season in the second half of the season were pretty dour, and you know, teams came there knowing that they had to be physically strong and stand up to things aerially and that kind of side of it. So I don't think there's any kind of huge secrets when Lee Bowyer looks at the team, as he often does. You know, he looks at so much of the opposition and what they do. I think he'll know their strengths, so he'll know what to expect, and I'm sure that, you know, Charlton will be well equipped for that.
I mean, when it comes to Mill's expectations at the start of the season, because I mean, is staying up a good result for Mill in this division? Because clearly Neil Harris's departure probably came as a bit of a surprise to those of us outside the club. We're probably thinking, well, to be fair, he's doing an okay job if he can keep their heads above water. But were the fans happy with how things have started this season? Do you think that led to the swap?
Yeah, I think if you listen to what has been said since, I think Neil Harris, you know, he was kind of Millwall through and through. And I think he was aware of some of the criticism of the style of play. I think there was probably a feeling that he didn't want things to go sour there, and I think you know, at the end of last season, there was quite a lot of criticism of the way the team were playing generally, that the football wasn't free-flowing enough and there wasn't enough entertainment. So I think if you covered the club, like, for a period and sort of heard some of the internal noises, it wasn't an absolute shock. It was a surprise that he went when he did. But I think the problem is that that first season they set the bar so high, finishing eighth, the following season probably wasn't seen as a success, even though, a bit like with Charlton, I guess, Millwall will have a bigger budget than Charlton under Roland de Châtelet, but they would probably still be bottom five or six in the league. So I always equate it to a successful season is roughly, you know, normally you can sort of mirror it to a budget because money tends to talk in the Championship. Not always, obviously Preston top right now, but, you know, it does generally tend to reflect what the ambitions of a club should be. So I think for Millwall, maybe the fans thought there might be more there for them, but I think, you know, if they finish a mid-table and above, they've had a really good season. If they did more than that, it would be sensational. So I think that's the problem for them. I think it's the fact that at the end of the day, the reason that Neil Harris went was, you know, he didn't win enough football matches towards the end, and then the style of play becomes more of a factor. I don't think the style of play was really mentioned too much when they won promotion and when they finished eighth, because they were winning enough games for it not to be a problem. But I think style of play becomes a talking point. But even if you play free-flowing football, if you're not winning games, and people start moaning about lack of cutting edge and this and that. So, yeah, long answer to the question. I think a good season for Millwall would be comfortably staying away from the scrap at the bottom, because when you get dragged into it, as they found last season, in the second half of last season, they never really got out of it. I mean, it was right to the very wire, and I think that was quite grueling. Another reason for Neil Harris maybe feeling it was time to go, you know, I think it was quite a mental drain for him. When you're so invested in the football club.
Yeah, and then of course Charlton's record against Millwall is famously poor, but you know, you would have seen quite a lot of the last, was it 10 or 11 games we've gone without beating them as a veteran reporter on the South London scene. Why do you think it is that Charlton struggles so much in games against Millwall?
It's strange, isn't it? I mean, there was the game at the Valley, wasn't there? Was that the season that Millwall went up where you probably should have won that game? There was quite a poor refereeing decision, yeah, if I remember correctly, that the goal was disallowed for Charlton. And if that had stood, I think, on that day, that probably would have ended it. I mean, I suppose it seems a long time, but it's what, 10 matches, I think, that I was looking at. But overall, the head-to-head, Millwall have a much better record, and it's just strange how these things go. I don't know if there's anything particularly mental to it. I think that Charlton this season would probably travel with more confidence than perhaps they did when they last... I mean, the last time they played at the Den, if I remember right, Carl Robinson... I remember a Carl Robinson game where they were just very soft, and they didn't really like that physical side. They were sort of almost a pure footballing team. I think the difference probably for Lee Bowyer this time with what he's created is that, you know, Charlton are prepared to do that side of it. So that's why I think it probably is a trickier game for Millwall than perhaps it has been in recent kind of meetings.
How do you see it going then, if I put you on the spot? I mean, who do you think you would say are favourites at the moment, given obviously you have to try and remain reasonably impartial here because you cover both clubs, but I mean, therefore you've also seen a fair bit of both clubs this season.
Yeah, it's timing, isn't it? I think if the game had happened a month and a half ago, or I think you definitely would be thinking that this was about as good a time as any for Charlton to kind of scratch that particular itch. I think... it's a really hard one because obviously I don't think the performance by Millwall was particularly brilliant at Reading last time out, or certainly not in the first 45 minutes. And Charlton, it didn't quite click on Sunday. So both teams can need it. I mean, I've got to be honest, and I'm not just sitting on the fence on this, I can see it not being a brilliant game. I can see it being a pretty dour, scrappy one. And it would not surprise me if we're talking about a draw. That's obviously not the result Charlton fans want after 26 years and not winning this fixture. But that's what I can see happening. I can see it just being a bit of a stalemate.
There we go. Sir Buzz Killington from the South London Press Yeah, Richard predicting a stalemate on Saturday. You can see it. I mean, that's probably the way that Millwall are going to want it to play. I mean, we saw what Preston did against us on Sunday, Nath. You know, if Millwall can take any momentum out of the game, then that's probably the way that they're going to get a result with us.
Yeah, I can imagine. They're going to try and make it ugly, I think. I mean, I'm not. Yeah, they might try and play a bit themselves, but I mean, they're at home. They're going to have the crowd behind them. They're not going to be sitting off us and letting us try and play the way that we want to play. They're going to be disruptive. They're going to be giving Connor a couple of kicks without a shadow of a doubt. And they're going to make it tricky. But it's a time for us to show our maturity and get on the ball and be braver on the ball, regardless of the abuse that they go every time it goes out for a throw-in and stuff.
Yeah.
And we've just got to be brave.
Yeah, I mean, their home record this season, played 7-1-4, drawn 2, lost 1. So they are strong at home. And that is a worry, Tom. When you go to the Den, I mean, they had that infamous run, didn't they, where they went about 3 seasons without losing in like the 60s or something. But, you know, it's been a hard place to go so far this season, at least. You know, we've seen Leeds being beaten there. You know, better teams than us, you could argue, have gone there and got beaten. So, I mean, there is just this weird aura about the place that puts the other team off.
Yeah, they've got a reputation for a reason, right? And I know it's maybe not like it used to be.
Not remotely.
But it's still Millwall, and it's still the Den, and it's still the same place, and it's still a lot of the same maybe different generation, but same families, same area. You know, that same culture is still with that club. I know they've done a lot to kind of clear up and clean up some of the worst of it, but it's still a very tough place to go. It's still a hostile atmosphere. We're not the only ones who find it difficult to go there. Like you say, they've got a decent record there this season. Like Nath says, they're going to not play a very attractive style of football, which again is going to be difficult for a side like us, because I don't think we've coped very well with that so far this season. But it's one of them. It's so difficult to call it, really, because you just don't know what sort of Charlton are going to come out. And I said it to Bowyer on Saturday Sunday, we very rarely, or I don't think we've ever seen a Bowyer side put 2 bad performances together back to back. This would be typical that this is the time it happens, when the second one's against our biggest rivals in the league. But yeah, it's just it's one of them now, where now we've started talking about it and it's a couple of days away. You just want to get to kick off now, really.
Mm. Yeah, Gary Rowett's come in, Nath. Mm. Rate him as a manager.
Yep. Yeah, I do. No, he's good. No, it's a bit short.
He won't have had much time to. I mean,
2 games is nothing to put a stamp on the team. Especially, do you know what it reminds me of? Is something similar to when Nathan Jones went in at Stoke. He's inherited a team that for the past God knows how many years have been built on direct long ball football. And he's now having to come in with those sort of players and try and put his philosophy on it. Nathan Jones struggled. He did struggle, as you could, obviously he'd been sacked. But it's going to take more than 2 games for him to put a stamp on it.
Doesn't sound like they're very good at Reading on Saturday.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, you look at the stuff he'd done at Derby, and it was Birmingham, wasn't he, as well? I mean, he'd done some decent stuff, and it's going to take a while, but he's just going to be organised, which Millwall are used to. And he'll try and get them playing a little bit more than they were under Neil Harris.
So like I say, it's only QPR who've gone there and won this season. And they've been some big teams. Like I say, Leeds, they've got a bit of a helping hand against Leeds with a bit of a dodgy penalty decision. They've beaten Sheffield Wednesday, they've beaten Preston, and they've beaten Stoke there. So it is a difficult place to go. They don't keep too many clean sheets overall. Most of them have come at home as well, so that's something to try and take. And we have scored on our last 2 visits to the Den, so it's not all bad news. I've seen us score and lose games there as well, so things have been improving slightly on that front. I mean, in terms of our defence, who are going to have to stand up to an aerial bombardment, you're guessing. PSC is probably built for a game like this. You imagine Lockyer. I mean, I'm certain he thrives. He's one of those who thrives on a little bit of rivalry. We saw how he was in social media in the build up to going back to Bristol, when he, you know, a former Bristol Rovers man playing against Bristol City. This feels like the sort of game where that sort of character could come to the fore as well.
I think so. And in recent games, I know we've conceded a few more than we have it, you know, less recently, because I know there were stats going around about Dill's clean sheet record and stuff, and obviously we conceded 2 at West Brom and 2 at Bristol and 2 at Fulham, but on the whole I think we're a pretty tidy and organised team at the back, and I think you would think the players that we've got, they're going to thrive in an atmosphere like that, so I'm less worried about the defence. It's more about, can we nick that goal? Because you're right, we have scored in a lot of our games, not only recently, but also we've scored in our more recent games there as well. Obviously
didn't manage to score at the weekend, but as Nath said, he was fairly isolated. So yeah, I fancy us to get a goal, and I fancy us to be fairly strong defensively. It's just, can we keep that up for 90 minutes, I think? And especially, as you mentioned earlier, with the lack of real rotation and players we can bring off the bench, it's going to come down to that physicality, that work rate. Just, can we keep it up? Because I do think we'll score, whether it's first or not, I'm not sure. And then, yeah, like I say, it's just about, can you get in front and then stay in front?
Yeah, John Cooper tweets in, Bowen knows what it takes to beat Millwall, and I can't see anything other than the fact him and Jacko will have been firing these boys up all week. Let's end this hoodoo. Come on, you Reds. In Boya, we trust. Gumbo says, as the saying goes, 23rd time lucky. Jim was very excited to see Richard Corley on Cheltenham Live. Well, yes, he does come on every now and then. I have to speak to him all the time, so I get pretty bored of him, really. Mendon Quinas on the forum says, don't get too excited, lads. This one has got 0-0 written all over it. Would that be a good result? Going into, we've seen a couple of 0-0s there in my time. Coming out of those, I remember there was one game where that was quite a good result, actually. I think Millwall had been flying and we were sort of averaging in our first season back in the Championship. But another one where perhaps you go, it's a bit of a nothing 0-0, you're thinking we need to start winning these games at some point. So would you be happy with a draw on Saturday?
Head says yes, heart says no. I just think we're at a stage now. I know we're missing some key players, but I just think we're a really good side now, and I'd be disappointed if we did draw. But it depends on, you know, if we were getting bad or not, you know. But
if we go 2-0 down, it'd be happy.
Yeah,
with a draw.
Of course. But I just think, yeah, I mean, away from home, you're all good at home. You take a draw, you ain't lost. But then again, it's like, come on, you want to try and win this? But yeah. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. But I think we can if we play our game. That's the thing. If we turn up, we play our game that we're good at, I think we'll win quite comfortably.
So often in the games against Millwall, I think after sort of like the first 15, 20 minutes, you sort of got a feel for how the afternoon's going to go as well. So I think the only time it sort of changed after 20 minutes was that one where Solly got sent off, where it'd been a fairly even opening 20, 25 minutes, and he got sent off for the handball on the line where it clearly hit his face, and typical game against Millwall started happening again. But the opening is going to be quite interesting, isn't it, on Saturday, because it's a chance to really make your mark on a game, especially if you can get an early goal.
Yeah, and start of the season and a lot of last season, we really started games quickly, got ourselves in front, just kind of blew teams away. And then in recent weeks, I feel like we've lost that a little bit. Now, that might just be down to the types of teams we've been playing, because obviously we've been playing teams up and around the top of the league, and then teams that sit off us and are very hard to break down. But if we can start quickly, if we can get ourselves in front, as I said earlier, I think then you're relying on that back four or back five or whatever Bowes picks, but I think there's players there that will enjoy that. You know, from 1-0 up, if you're just getting balls lumped into you, Pearce and Lockyer are going to eat that sort of stuff up. When it's 0-0 or you're 1-0 down, it suddenly becomes a much more of a battle. So yeah, I think that, like Boya said, that first goal is so important. And if we can just get that, you know, with the crowd behind you as well, that top tier is going to be loud. I think that's probably our best bet. So yeah, that start is going to be crucial.
Right, Martin says that this is our time, boys. He predicts Jason Pearce to score the winner. Right, excellent stuff. Right, obviously it's a huge rivalry between two sets of supporters, South East London, turf wars, if you will, in terms of football. But when it comes to, you know, these are realistically people that we live and work with, or, you know, we see these sort of people every day, and we all live in the same community. Now, this sort of idea of a community in South East London is something that has sort of helped to form an idea. Now, there's a really good initiative coming ahead on Saturday, the Together for 10 March. I spoke to Craig Pepiat from, he's a Charlton fan, and let's let him explain what they've got planned for Saturday.
We're doing the Together for 10 charity walk. We're meeting up in Sidcup, and we're going to walk 10 miles from Sidcup to the Den, going through Eltham and Lee, through Blackheath, down through Greenwich, Deptford, and then finally onto the Den. We're doing this to raise awareness of the ongoing knife crime and violence in the capital, and also to honour two young fans who obviously sadly died in the past for both Charlton and Millwall, Rob Knox and Jimmy Mizzen.
Yeah, of course, it's significant with the fact this is a local derby, and obviously it's famous for the rivalry between the fans, that the two sets of fans are actually coming together, I guess, to try and do something positive on the day of the match.
Yeah, and that's one thing me and my mate Danny, who actually came up with the idea, he's a Millwall fan, and we thought, you know, two rival sets working together, walking together, showing the unity that can happen in the communities and obviously the wider world. It's a shame everything that's going on at the moment with knife crime on the rise, not just in London, but everywhere, obviously. And, you know, there's innocent people losing their lives, and we've both got three young kids, and we're worried about their future and, you know, the future of everyone else around us.
So what's the sort of reaction been like so far from fans who've heard about your idea?
Yeah, we've had a lot of good reaction from people, lots of shares of the videos that we put up on social media through the Together for 10 hashtags on all socials. We've done a few little videos, and there's been the Millwall Lionesses have got behind us. And there's been a few people messaging us and trying to get involved. Obviously, we've got a number of walkers coming with us on the day. Ideally, we'd have 11 from each side, because that's the sort of, we're going for a football team from each side, if that makes sense. I thought it'd look good that way. We're a few numbers short at the moment, but there is still people asking us about it, and hopefully we'll have more people turn up on the day.
Excellent. And you're obviously raising money for two different charities as well. Why don't you tell us a little bit about those?
Yeah, so for the ideas of the charities, we spoke to both parents, for Rob and for Jimmy. And Rob Knox obviously have the Rob Knox Foundation, but they asked us to work with Charlton Athletic Community Trust on their behalf. And for Jimmy Mism, they've obviously got the For Jimmy charity. So we're going to be raising money, which is going to be split 50-50 between the two charities, Charlton Athletic Community Trust and For Jimmy.
Yeah, and how can fans get involved with donating?
If you look for us on any of the social medias, Together for 10, there is a link to the website where we can donate. I'll quickly read it out anyway. It's uk.virginmoneygiving.com/Together for 10. Or, of course, if you contact any of us through social media and would rather do a cash donation, that is fine. We can figure that out and sort that out. And we will be raising money on the day whilst walking.
Excellent stuff. Well, I hope it goes well. And obviously, when you get there, it is the big match. You're the Charlton fan side of it, of the walk. I mean, how do you see the game going? I guess you probably haven't had too much time to think about it just yet.
No, we haven't, to be fair. And then after Sunday's result, obviously it's a little bit poor, but hopefully the lads pick themselves up and hopefully we can go for it. I mean, obviously we haven't had too much luck in the past 20-odd years, but, you know, maybe it's out of turn for a win. I hope so.
Yeah, excellent stuff. Well, all the best for the walk, and I hope it goes well. And then, like I say, I hope you follow it up with a Charlton win when we get there as well.
Yeah, me too. Thank you. Cheers.
There we go, Craig Pepiat from the Together for 10 walk. I mean, obviously, we talk about the rivalry, but it's nice to see something positive coming out of that. And, you know, football rivalry aside, societal issues that need addressing. And the way you do it is by coming together with your local community. And so, that's a great idea that the lads have put together there. And should be a good event. And hopefully, it'll raise a lot of money. Last time I checked, there was only about 700 quid. I think they're aiming for about 1,000. So, if you look on the Charlton Live Twitter, we'll stick out the address so you can donate to that. The money, as he said, being split equally, and obviously half of it's going towards the Charlton Trust, so the community trust. So a good idea, Nath. It feels like a good thing.
Yeah, of course it is. I mean, obviously Rob Knox, you know, sadly died in Sid Cup, and Jimmy Mism was in Lee, wasn't it? So it's two areas that, you know, have a lot of Charlton and Millwall fans combined. So it's a good idea from obviously the guys to sort of raise awareness of knife crime, which we all know sort of, you know, sadly it's a bit going out of control at the moment, and to raise a bit of money in the meantime. And it's also a day for them to be remembered by the fans and their family. So yeah, great cause, and hopefully it all goes well, because it's not easy doing 10-mile walks.
I've done
26 miles for the charity, so it's a lot of work. So fair play to them, hope it all goes well.
Yeah, so that's Craig there. Thanks to Craig for coming onto the show, and like I say, if you want to have a look at our Twitter page, we'll tweet out the address for you to donate. So we're just coming to that. I'm going to leave the final word to Lee Bowie, which we're going to hear in a couple of minutes. But, I mean, how are you feeling? Like, so I'm feeling pretty pumped. I am excited about this one. Normally, I'm a bit more nervous than this because I just fully expect us to get beaten, Tom. I'm feeling like, you know, I'm excited. This is a big game. You know, first proper derby of the season. Is this the time, or are we going to be here on Sunday night crying into our microphones like normal?
This is the time. We'll beat them.
Yeah,
cool as a cucumber.
Yeah. Sounds so convincing.
I thought some speech was coming in. Like, this is time, pause. And then he was going to rattle off the reasons why.
Just talk about cucumbers.
Yeah. Well, there we go. I think we need picking up here, guys. We're going to do it, mate.
We need the
Churchillian speech to get us going.
Yeah.
And luckily enough, we've got one. James has sent this in. Our surge towards victory, I can answer in one word, is victory. Victory at all costs. Victory in spite of all terror. Victory, however long and hard the road may be. For without victory, there is no survival. Let that be realised. No survival for Charlton Athletic. No survival for that Charlton Athletic has stood for. No survival for the urgent impulse of the ages. That mankind will move forward towards its goal. But I take up my task with buoyancy and hope. I feel sure that our cause will not be suffered to fail among men. And at this time, I feel entitled to claim the aid of all. And I say, come then, let us go forward together with our united strength. Cheers, Ev. That's Ev
James.
That was better than the Accrington one. Like, that was well together. But that's a passionate speech. I think Ev should do one of those. Like, every time we have a massive game, we need one of them for Ev because it picks me up.
Yeah. Or then maybe you could go and do it in the dressing room before the game. Or maybe we should just print it off to the players.
Tell you what, we'll ask the players to play this before the game, mate.
Excellent stuff. We have come to the end of this week's big match preview. It is the big match preview because it's Millwall at the Den for the Addicts on Saturday. Don't forget, we'll be back here on Sunday evening to discuss whatever happens. Hopefully, it will be our first win over Millwall in our entire history, I believe. If not, we'll just be here crying and, you know, we're pretty used to it now, aren't we? So make sure you join us on Sunday evening, 7 o'clock. Thank you to Tom and Nate for coming in.
Cheers.
Yeah, cheers. I might see you Sunday. I'll either be fatherless or dead. One of the two.
I don't know which one's preferable, really. We'll work that out.
Get Cramp Boy back.
Yeah. I've been Louis Mendes. I hope you have enjoyed this week's big match preview. Like I say, we're going to leave the final word to the Charlton manager, Miss Lee Bowyer.
They need to know the importance of the result and what it means to people. I think every derby, up and down the country, you need to know the importance of, and what it means to fans, you know. We've got a meeting after this, and I'll be telling them in a nice way how important it is. So they're getting ready. Normally, we wouldn't name a side on a Thursday, naming the team so they can get in their head that they're ready and so they're fully prepared for what's about to come on Saturday. The most important thing is that as a football club we get 3 points and then our fans can walk around and hopefully we can have the bragging rights for the next 20 odd years like what they've had.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.